Torah Way, North West London, Monday, Chof Teves, the 4th of January, Harav Yitzi David Shlita, Moshe Rabbeinu, the ultimate orator.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we start Sefer Shemos, we leave Bereshith, Parashas dealing with the spiritual DNA of who Klal Yisrael are about to become. The Ovos, the Mos, the Shiftei Ko. And now we move into Sefer Shemos, Sefer Geula. We start learning about what happened to Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim, the Geula from Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, the Mishkan. There's an interesting point in the parasha. Most of what I'm saying is probably based on the Maharal, a little bit from Moshe Shapira Zatel, and a little bit more from Rabbi Tatz. Not sure where one begins and the other ends, but they all get somewhat credit. Anything, you can see where this year is going. I apologize, it's a bit early in the morning for that type of stuff, but we'll try anyway. Anyway, so the parasha we know introduces us to Moshe Rabbeinu, his story growing up in the palace with Paro. He recognizing himself as a Yid, his Jewish identity. He recognizes the suffering of his people. He identifies with them. He identifies with himself as a Jew, and he wants to help his people. He goes out. We know the story. He kills the Mitzri. He buries him. He goes out the next day, and he sees people fighting, and he says, "Stop!" And they say, "What are you going to do? You're going to kill us like you killed him." And then the pasuk says, "Vayira Moshe." Moshe became very afraid. "Vayomach einoda hadova." I see that word has got out. Very interesting, Rashi here. Rashi says, Vayira, what was Moshe so afraid of? And Rashi says, Pasuk Yedalad, Kupshuto, it means he was afraid because it became known that he'd killed someone. But he brings a medrash, Dagla al Sharabi Yisrael, Rishon de la Torah. He sees that they're informers, they're speaking Lashon Hara and Klal Yisrael, informing one against the other. Oma Me'ata, Shema Einam Ru'uyim Lehigoya. Moshe says, we see from here, perhaps Klal Yisrael are not ready for Geula. What Shaychus? Not ready for Geula because someone told someone else that someone killed someone. On a simple level, perhaps, spoke Lashon Hara. But Lashon Hara is so bad, yes, it's a bad Aveira. Shouldn't be spoken, shouldn't be done. But because Klal Yisrael are speaking Lashon Hara, they're not ready for Geula. What's Pshat? Question one. Oh. Stam machlekes, no. Okay. Never a good thing. Second parasha we need to look at in Perek Dalud, famous Maisa of the Snare, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he's trying to convince Moshe to go and speak in front of Paro, to be the one to redeem the Jewish people. Moshe's trying to get out of it. Mi anochi, what am I bichlal? It's a bit like a conversation when Rav Dudi tries to call you and speak for Torah away. No, I don't know. Then finally, the one thing you can say to get out of it is, Lav ish dvorim anochi. I'm not a good speaker. There's a seder. We'll get someone else. But what's Moshe doing? Moshe says, you know, who am I to go? They're not going to listen. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry. And then he says, but Bichlal, Klal Yisrael, are they going to listen? Are they going to believe in me? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry. There's going to be nisim. There's going to be miracles. They're going to believe in you. Until Moshe finally says, Lo ish devarim anoichi. Not a good speaker. I'm not a good speaker. It's a great excuse. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is telling you to go and free Klal Yisrael. To go to Paro and tell him, he says, I'm going to be by your side. I'm going to make nisim. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be with you. I've got a stutter. I'm scared. I'm embarrassed to speak in public. What's pshat? So you have to understand, what is it that Moshe Rabbeinu was ultimately saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What was this taina? What was this that? To which we know, by the way, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, you know what? Don't worry. Instead of him saying, I'll get rid of your stutter. I'll help you. I'll speak through your mouth. He says, okay, you know what? You really don't want to do it? I'll send Aaron with you. He'll be your spokesperson. And at that point, Rashi tells us, Moshe Rabbeinu loses the schus to be Kohen. To be Kohen Godel. To Kohuna. Becomes Levim and Aaron Zoicha to Kohuna. What's Pshat? That has to be what's the connection? What's going on over here? So to understand really what's going on over here in both these instances, we have to understand a little bit about dibur. Because of dibur, because of lashon hara, because of speaking one against the other, or speaking about another, Klal Yisrael perhaps weren't zoicha to geula. And because Moshe Tainas, he doesn't have the ability to speak, he loses kahuna and Aaron becomes the kohen. So you have to understand a little bit, what exactly is dibur? So here's the part, I apologize, where it gets a little bit deep. I know it's early. Hopefully the coffee is strong enough. So on a simple level, we know there are three dargas. There's machshava, there's dibur, and there's maisa. There's thoughts, there's speech, and there's action, represented by the nefesh, ruach, neshama. I don't pretend to know what that means, but different levels of the neshama. We have a klal that the more physical something is, the less spiritual. The more physical, the less ruchni. Maisa, which is the most physical action, the most tangible thing, is therefore by definition the least spiritual. Machshava, which is the least physical, is the most ruchni. And dibur is somewhere in between. What is dibur? You ever thought about this? What is dibur? It exists, but it doesn't exist. Is it tangible? Is it not tangible? One of my friends was learning mindfulness. He's an avrich, actually learns here, choshva avrich. But he's learning about this new shtick called mindfulness. And he's finding different makoros and Torah. And I said, come on, what is it? Let's be honest, what is this business? So he said, one of the exercises that we did together, he says, is when you're omed b'tfilah, you're standing before the Rabbeinu Shlolam and words are leaving your mouth, pause for a second and be aware of the fact of what's going on in your body. That's, from what I've understood, one of the klolim in mindfulness is awareness of what's going on in of yourself. When you're speaking, have you ever thought about this? What is actually happening? There's some voice, something that's coming from somewhere. What is it? What is dibur? It's not physical. Maisa, I can understand. My hand doing something, I can understand. Kicking something, lifting something. Thought, okay, it doesn't really exist in this world. It's something in my own little world. But dibur is something a little bit in between. So what exactly is this dibur? Dibur, we're told, is the connector between guf and neshama. The ruach is what connects the neshama, which lives here, and the nefesh. And the guf that lives here, the lower level of the neshama. It is a connector. It is something that takes something from olam ha-machshava, from this place, and brings it into this world. That is what dibur is. By definition, it takes something that doesn't have limits, that is on some level infinite, thought, and it limits it somewhat into words. This is, Rabbi Tatzel famously says, one of the klolim in therapy. When people go through either a very positive experience or very negative experience, they will tell you that words could never do justice to the experience that I went through. And they're right. There are many, many survivors who will never, ever, ever tell their story. Because I could not possibly ever put into words the experience that I went through. And they are right. No words could ever do it justice. And it's true in the positive as well. You go through an experience. You see niflas ha-boire. Someone, a child is born or something unbelievable. That feeling, you can never put it into words. Because words are limited. Which is why the way therapy works is when you take a very, very negative, terrible, traumatic experience that's impossible to deal with and you speak it out just by putting it into words, you're limiting that experience somewhat to the words that you've said, and it no longer only exists up here, but exists somewhat in this world, and now you can start to deal with it. And that's what happens. Some survivors will tell you, there's a famous one, Eric Shaw, Leah Kaufman, who didn't speak for years and years, 20, 30 years, she never told her husband, never told her children, no one ever, and then one day she finally spoke, and through speaking out her story and sharing with people, she was able to deal with it in a way that she was never able to before. So dibur is something that takes something from the world of machshava and limits it somewhat. limitation is always physical. Klola, the reason why we don't count in Yiddishkeit is because brocha is expansion. The famous Maharal, Beirach, is 222. Each unit in single tens and hundreds is this point of expansion. 1 to 2, 10 to 20, 100 to 200. Brocha is expansion. Klola is limitation. Physicality is limitation. So when we have something in Dibur, when we have something, in Machshava, and we speak about it, we bring it into this world, it brings it into reality. Which is why we know, in Yiddishkeit, we have to be very careful with our words. I won't go into examples, but I have the zchus and the challenge to run a trip every summer for 25, 17-year-old boys who are struggling. And if I tell you the type of cruel games that they play when they're bored on a coach, and the words that they say, they have certain games speaking about other people or making jokes about other people. If you've ever wanted to see words doing real damage, sit around with a bunch of teenagers for a bit. Not to go into it now. But when words, when you bring something into this world, it creates a reality. And I'll tell you a bit of a Sephardi story. I don't know if I can get away with this, but we'll try. First hand, I can tell you this. My cousin moved to Eretz Yisrael. He married my cousin. He's a Baal Tshuva. Worked very, very hard in England for his whole life, built a career, built a business, eventually sold it and moved to Eretz Yisrael to live the dream. He bought a house, wanted to do renovations, shibutzim, wanted to build a swimming pool, and unfortunately for him, he was a little bit too English to deal with the mentality in Eretz Yisrael, and he got taken advantage of here and there, and he found it very difficult, Lamaisa. And everyone who he was dealing with, whether it was the Kablan, whether it was the painter, whether it was the gardener, whoever it was taking him for a bit of a ride. They saw a naive little English guy who barely spoke the language, who had a bit of money. And so everyone told him, yeah, I'll do the job, no problem, but you have to pay 50% up front because I need, my workers, I need to go and get the materials, etc., etc. And half the time they didn't show up the next day. Finally he gets this gardener, landscaper, because he can charge more when you're a landscaper, not a gardener. And he tells him what he wants done in the garden, and my cousin says, sure, no problem. And the guy says, yeah, not a problem. And he's take 50% up front. And he says, whoa, I've fallen for that one before, not so fast. He says, no, genuinely, this is what I need to buy, I'll give you the list. Fine, give me 30%. He says, I promise you, you have my word, I will come tomorrow. Come what may. I'm not sure, he looks, I wouldn't say he looks like an Ehrlich guy, the guy wasn't, it was a skinhead with tattoos and earrings, but Lemaisa, he was a year. Thought, I could trust the guy. The Maisa tomorrow comes, 7 a.m., 8. There are countries where they actually start work before 9 a.m., by the way. 7 a.m., 8 a.m., 9 a.m., 10, 11, 12, a whole day comes by. Guy doesn't show. He's calling him. No show. Next day, doesn't show. Calling him, no answer. Days go by, and he's fuming. How did I fall for it again? Gunneth, liar. Again. About 2.5 weeks later, this guy rocks up, almost unrecognizable. He opens the door, he sees him, says, you, Gunneth. He says, no, please, hear me out. He says, hear you out, you stole my money, you didn't answer the phone. He says, please. He says, the day that I left your house, completely out of nowhere, my father was Nifta. So I'm not from Guy. He says, but we sat Shiva, but it was completely out of the blue. We were completely broken. We didn't know what to do. He says, but, we sat Shiva because we were told it's a good thing to do. He says, and me and my brothers, we were dealing with it, my mother, but my younger brother, 23-year-old guy, couldn't deal with it. Every day, how, why? Couldn't deal with it. He says, the last day of Shiva, we're sitting around, we're about to get up from Shiva. And we're all trying to comfort this one brother who just can't be comforted. And he says, I don't believe any of this, and it can't be, and it's not fair, and it's not right, I don't believe in this God. He says, Im yesh Elokim, hu tikach oti gam ken. If there is a God, he'll take me too. This secular Israeli turns around to my cousin and he says, A week ago, I got up from sitting shiva for my father. 1 week later, I just got up from sitting shiva for my brother. He did not wake up the next morning. That is koyach hadibu. I did say it was a Sephardi story, I apologize. Vaita. So that's what dibur is. What does dibur do? Here we have an unbelievable maral. The maral in Gvuras Chavches brings, we know the famous Gemara in Nida Daf Lamed Amud Beis, Kishu Yotze La'Avi Ha'Olam Bo Malach V'Sitra Al-Piv U'Mishkach M'Menu Kol HaTorah. When a child is born, before a child is born, when he's still in the rechem, in the womb of his mother, Malach comes, gives him a patch, smacks him on his lips, and he forgets Kol HaTorah Kula. The Maral says, why does he smack him on his mouth? Why is this the creation of Adam? And he explains, because Adam, by definition, is a chibur, a hybrid of guf and neshama. And when a baby, a fetus, this physical guf, is still berechem imoy, he doesn't have his neshama yet. His neshama is not inside of him. There's no chibur yet. He says, so when the neshama is kuloi sichli, is totally seichel, is completely ruchani, it knows kol haTorah kula. But at the moment that there's a chibur between guf and neshama, which happens here, a tap on the mouth, at that point, Torah is forgotten, because the neshama, which is kuloi sichli, now becomes meshed, mechubar, to this guf, to this physical guf, to chumriyut, it forgets Torah. Says the Maharal, at that point of the chibur between guf and neshama, Torah is forgotten because Adam is created. The creation of Adam comes about by the chibur between guf and neshama. Which is why we know the unklus. Oh, so we'll get there in a second.
Yeah. The birth or before?
The Gemara says, Kashu yoytze la'avi ha'olam. There is neshama, but it's separate. There's a physical guf. No, there is an neshama. And the neshama is not mechubah, it's not connected yet. You as a person don't exist yet. There's neshama and there's a guf. Shaila is, who are you? So the unklus, we know a famous Targum unklus, bin Bereshit Vayodom Lenefesh Chaya, unklus says, L'ruach Memalala. The definition of a living being is a speaking being. Unklus wasn't the Maharal. Unklus is a Targum. He's telling you the translation of Nefesh Chaya, of a living being, is a speaking being. Dibur is what makes you Adam. Why? Because it's this point, this is the Chibur, the connection between Guf and Neshama, is what makes you Adam, is Koyach HaDibur. So if we understand a little bit what dibur does, this chibur that it creates, we can understand perhaps what's going on with Moshe, what's going on with the Lashon Hara. If Klal Yisrael is speaking Lashon Hara, they're not zoche to Geula. Lashon Hara, we know one of the terrible things that Lashon Hara does is it creates machlokes. But why is that so bad? Because Hagufa, the kli with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you to create chibur, that's what dibur does. Speech, communication is there to build a relationship, to communicate. The level of communication that we as human beings have through dibur doesn't exist by any animal. They can say words, some animals. They can communicate with sound. They cannot communicate and build relationships through dibur. That's what dibur does. It connects people on a neshamadika level. If you don't believe me, ask your wife. So Moshe sees Klal Yisrael speaking Lashon Hara, using the kli of chibur to create machlokes, to create pirud. Says Moshe, therefore they're not ready for geula. Because geula, what is the point of geula? It's interesting, Shemos is called Sefer Geula. Only the first couple of parishes deal with geula. Then it talks about the Midbar, Matan Torah, and the Mishkan. Why is it Sefer Geula? Because the point of Geula, the only reason we were taken out of Mitzrayim. Look at the Haggadah. Look at Dayenu. We went out to go to the Midbar, to go to Har Sinai, to be Mekabel Torah, to go to Eretz Yisrael, to build the Beis HaMikdash. The point of Geula, the only point of Geula, the reason why Klal Yisrael were created were to go to Eretz Yisrael, to build the Beis HaMikdash, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Beis HaMikdash, Geula, where we're trying to get to the function of the Beis HaMikdash, the point of Mokum HaMikdash is the Mokum HaChibur Bein Shemayim Va'oretz. That place, the Mokum HaMikdash, is the focal point, the epicenter of the world where Shemayim Va'oretz meet. The Mokum HaChibur. The Mokum HaChibur between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Mokum HaMikdash. So if Klal Yisrael are taking that exact tool, that kli that we're given for Chibur, and they're using it to create Pirut, they're not ready for Geula. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes along. By the way, it's no coincidence that where does Dibur actually live? It comes out of the pear. But where does it really come from? It comes from the throat. It comes from the neck. So we know already a couple of weeks ago, Parashas Vayigash, there's a beautiful Maral, there's also a beautiful Rav Hirsch over here, but it says, Vayipol al tzvorei binyomin achov, Vayev binyomin boch al tzvorov. And the Maral there goes, a beautiful piece in the Maral, by the way, about why dafka, the neck, is Loshen Yochid and Loshen Rabim. But we know Rashi tells us there that when it says tzvorov, we're talking about Mokom HaMikdash. They were crying about the Beis HaMikdash because the tzvor, the neck of a person, represents the Beis HaMikdash. Because the neck is the Mokom HaChibur between the Guf and the Neshama. Because the Beis HaMikdash is the Mokom HaChibur ben Shemayim Va'oretz. Now we get to Moshe. The Maral in Gvuras goes on. And he says, I don't understand. Moshe Rabbeinu was perfect. Moshe Rabbeinu, even on a physical level, Moshe Rabbeinu was perfect. How can it be that he has a pagam? How could it be that he has a mum, that he can't speak? Could be he's coming, the Maral, perhaps he's coming like Fuke, the Ran. The Ran says that the whole Gufa, the reason why Moshe had a begam here, was because you might think, people might think that the reason why Klal Yisrael listened to this guy was, oh, he was charismatic, he was an orator, he was a leader. No. He could barely speak. The Maral, Chur is coming to argue with that, or to adapt it slightly. He says, it can't be. How could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu, says Moshe Shahayalo Kolamailus, Va'af Shlemus Haguf Hayalo. How could it be that he had a pagam, that he had a mum? So says the Maharal, obviously it's not a mum. This is not a pagam. The reason why Moshe says, Lo Ish Devorim Anochi, didn't have Koyach HaDibur, was because Moshe was on such a mile, was on such a madriga, that he wasn't physical. And Dibur is connected to the physical world. It's physical. It's not like Shmia and Re'iyah, he says, which are not tangible. He says Dibur on some level is Mekushar to the Olam of Chomer. And therefore Moshe was on such a Maila, he couldn't speak, so to speak. He didn't have the Koyach HaDibur. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Lo Ish Devorim Anochi. You need someone to go and connect to the people through Dibur. That's not me. I'm living up here. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it could be that you're right. Your brother Aaron is going to do it, and therefore he will become the Kohen. Or Shaychus. The Kohen is the spokesperson. The job of the Kohen is to speak. Kahanim, the Kohen Gadol, probably never spoke to anyone. They're doing their avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Maharal, the function of kahuna is to be the mechaber, to be that which connects Klal Yisrael to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Where in the Mokom HaMikdash? Says the Maharal. Klas Maharal says that, what's the gematria of Kohen? 75. Says the Maharal, because 75 is halfway between 7 and 8. 70 and 80. Because we know 7 is Ruchnius in Olam Hazeh. And 8 is Lamala Menateva. He says the job of a Kohen is to be that bridge. The bridge between Ruchnius in this world and Lamala Menateva, complete Ruchnius above and beyond this world. The job of the Kohen is to sit in between. So Hagufa, the Kohen, the job of the Kohen is to be that which creates Chibur between Klal Yisrael and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in the Mokom HaMikdash, which is the Mokom HaChibur in the world. And therefore, Moshe, if you love Ish Dvorim Anochi, you don't have Koyach HaDibur, the Koyach of Chibur, to connect people. You can't be the Kohen. So your brother Aaron will become the Kohen Gadol. His children will get the Kahuna. Because the function of Kahuna is to create Chibur. That's why Kohen is Brish Shalom, always speaks about Shalom. Shalom is Shlemus. Shalom is to create Chibur between people. Shlemus is to be mashlim with separate parts to bring them together. That's all that a Kohen is. If I end with a Kasha. So that perhaps we're saying is Pshat. And what Moshe means, Lavish Dvaram Anochi, why he loses Kahuna because of that. Why Moshe Rabbeinu sees if Klal Yisrael are speaking Lashon Hara, there's Pirud in Klal Yisrael, and they're using Dibur to create Pirud, they're not Zoche to Geula. There's one chora obvious kasha. Moshe Rabbeinu lav ish dvorim anoichi. Tairas Moshe. It is all Dibur through from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through the mouth of Moshe. And Sefer Dvorim is the Dvar, is the Dibur of Moshe Rabbeinu? What do you mean? Lav ish Dvar Manoichi. Maybe he claimed that. And maybe, yes, Taka, when they went to Paro, it wasn't Moshe that spoke, it was Aaron. But didn't that change? So my colleague, Rabbi Kalani, who spoke here a couple of weeks ago, told me another beautiful Maral. Says the Maral says, Lav ish Dvar Manoichi. Moshe Rabbeinu did not have Koyach HaDibur. But when? Oh, true. But why isn't that true now as well? When did that change? It says Kavaldi. I'm saying now. He's saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke through the...
Maybe at Matan Torah when everybody was healed.
Oh, so better. It is at Matan Torah, but why? It says Moshe is Torah. Torah's Moshe. The reason why Moshe was up there was because his chibur to Torah was so real. He was Torah, that when Torah was here, Moshe was here. But at Matan Torah, what happened to Torah? It was brought down. Lo b'shamayim hi. At that point, because Moshe was up here with Torah, therefore lav ish dvorim anochi, I can't live in this world, I can't bring myself down to this world, because Torah's not yet brought into this world. Once there's Matan Torah, lo b'shamayim hi. Matan Torah was taking Torah and bringing it into this world, the manifestation of Torah in this world. At that point, Moshe can be the ultimate Medaber. Dibur. Because his Kesher to Torah, Moshe is Torah. So when Torah is up there, Moshe's up there. But when Torah comes down, the Koyach Dibur of Moshe Rabbeinu comes down. And that's why we see that this time of Lo Ish Dvar Manochi ends. Yeah, I can't speak, I can't go to Paro, but as soon as there's Matan Torah, he becomes the ultimate Medaber. Good luck.
Very nice.